The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. I promised Kelly I would not throw lemons at him when he took away my rundown or something along those lines. I promised Kelly I wouldn't do that. You saw that on Sunday night, right?
Yeah. I was getting shows together, and I looked up at one of my TVs that I had on mute, and I'm like, my first reaction was, man, these XFL games have just been broadcasted everywhere this weekend.
And I'm like, which is true.
I'm like, hey, wait, there's Stormy. I'm like, she's got a show to do in like 9 hours. How's this going to work?
Yeah, well, I'm just curious because what we're talking about is the DC Defenders crowd, which, by the way, good on the DC Defenders crowd in the XFL, Kelly, acting in the same crazy manner as they did pre-pandemic in 2020, bringing the beer snake out again. Security, for some reason, took away the beer snake, as confiscated is apparently too hard of a word for me to say this early in the morning. And in protest, they threw lemons, which begs the question, A, one, where did they get the lemons?
Okay, yeah.
B, why are they bringing the lemons into the – if they're just bringing them in on their own, why? And three, why was the beer snake confiscated?
Oh, there
it is.
There we go.
I obviously Stormy brought this up yesterday on Final Countdown.
I was able to talk to her quickly as we were changing over. She was saying that they were in cocktails, like we're seeing But even she was surprised at how large the lemons were. It was like half a lemon.
It looked like a whole lemon in there.
Yeah.
Which begs the question.
Well, that's why. I didn't know you were going to start with this. Otherwise, I would have booked Stormy for the show or something like this. This is the kind of, hey, look, if the XFL, for people that remember, I may have been doing a lot of AAF betting a few years ago.
Before the league just folded in the middle of the night.
I've got no interest in trying to get into these, like DOA leagues already. Like, they're I don't know. How long are these things going to last? I've got no interest in really betting it. But I'm here to watch it. And the only time I chose to turn the volume up over the weekend to listen to something about an XFL game, Jeff, was when Stormy was doing hard-hitting reporting
on
the beer snake. I'm like, this is what I'm here for. This is, like, I'm here for this.
You know, the other thing, too, like, this weekend, and a lot of my friends from college are in media in St. Louis and are covering the Battle Hawks like an NFL team, Kelly.
Oh, God.
And the one thing did happen on Sunday that we actually can talk about a little bit later in the show, where the Battle Hawks were down by 12 late in the game, Kelly. They get a touchdown. They go for three to cut it to three. And then instead of, remember, there's no onside kicks in the XFL now. It's a 4th and 15 from your own 20.
Right.
And they converted and went down and scored a touchdown off of it. Which begs the question, well, at some point in our – not in our lifetime, because it will probably happen in our lifetime. But sometime in the next 10 years, will we see that type of thing in the NFL?
See, here's what I love. I love that you brought that up, because I've heard a couple people bring this up. It's been tweeted about a bunch, right? Just a week ago, we were all sitting here complaining about the rules in the NFL and the officiating. And we want to add more rules for those guys that try to officiate?
There we go.
Well, what the hell are we talking about?
They're going to do it anyway. Remember, they're going to get rid of the butt push, apparently, this offseason. That's been floating around this week. The play the Eagles perfected in route to a Super Bowl appearance, but... Look, that's stupid.
It's stupid.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid
that they would do it. I kind of understand it, though, but man, you haven't even seen a team yet fully take advantage of that, Jeff.
Eagles kind of did, though.
I mean, they did, but like, you don't think the Saints are sitting there and being like, we finally figured out a way to use Taysom Hill single down. Like, we need three good interior offensive linemen, two guys behind him, and push. Pick up 4 yards every down, that's an offense. Everybody's going
to
hate it.
If Sean Payton were still in New Orleans, I would say yes. I don't trust that coaching staff to do that.
No, I agree.
Where's the bell? Oh, the Belldozers in Kansas City. So that doesn't really even work anymore. See, if you had a Blake Bell mention in the first 5 minutes of the show, congratulations.
You cash
a big ticket there. But we do have a great show that I completely hijacked for the first 5 minutes there on XFL content.
Really distracted me. Really got me heated up.
No, it's good. Look, heated up Kelly Bidlin is good. Matt Cox is going to be with us in 10 minutes. Ian Eagle, who, of course, we know and love, the best play-by-play guy in the business at this point in any sport, 10:30 Eastern, Paul Carr. Champions League begins again today. Second wave of first legs at the round of 16. And then we have a producer reunion at 11:30 Eastern. Danny Burke, or better known as Dan Burke, on this program. In studio, because he's actually out here, shockingly enough.
He's staying here, you said. Staying here.
Yeah, he's here. He's upstairs. Probably asleep still.
I'm so excited. I haven't seen Danny in forever. Ever since we traded him to Chicago for a pick to be named later in cash considerations.
Do we ever get the cash considerations back?
I haven't seen anything.
I didn't see anything.
I got a new printer last week, so maybe that's where
maybe
it
that wasn't the printer. 2 years later, the printer's finally here. Going into what we saw last night, Kelly, college hoops. We did give out a winner on the program yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
The Mustangs, a Cal Poly cover with ease, and quite frankly, should have won the game outright, Kelly.
Did you have a money line bet?
No.
I meant to text you that last
night.
No, I did not.
I did not. Oh, I was just happy. I was like, hey, look, you're up by one at the under eight timeout. Just find a way not to blow the cover, and they did not. They have the decency to lose in regulation, Kelly.
Wait, what was this number when you bet it?
I bet 11 and a half, so it did go down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I did take another piece of 11 also because I thought the number was off. But Cal Poly gets it done, 59-56. UC Irvine wins, but Cal Poly gets the money. And then the biggest result of the night in college hoops last night, Kelly, everyone was on TCU except for our guy Sean McCollum in the corner here, who was on Kansas last night. And
you don't fade Sean McCollum.
Well, again, the rule of thumb with this, and we've talked about this on Live Bet Saturday in the past, Kelly, when Sean McCollum and I are on the same side, even though I did take a piece of Kansas in game last night. So
65% of the time it works every time?
Oh, no. It. I think this might be the third time in like 40 tries he and I have won the same bet.
So it never happens.
It never works. We're on the same side. But last night, a really good win for Kansas in a bad spot for them on the road against TCU with Mike Miles back. And in the game where Jalen Wilson was in foul trouble and really did not do much of anything offensively, his second lowest output of the year with only 7 points, the Kansas Jayhawks go on the road, beat TCU by 5, win it outright as a +145 dog behind us. It was as high as +160 in the market. Circa had that about 5 minutes before tip, and I was stunned that it was as high as that. But, Kelly, the Mizzou grad in me does not love this. The Kansas futures backer in me loves this because at this point now, Kelly, Kansas, it is February 21st now, 20th yesterday. Kansas has 14 quad one wins. 14. They have 23 wins on the year. So 14 of the 23 wins are of the highest quality you can get in college basketball. The next closest is Purdue with 8. After that, no one else is more than 6.
It wouldn't be someone else from the Big 12?
No, wow. Apparently not. Well, because remember, all the teams from the Big 12 are beating each other.
Right, yeah.
So I would imagine that Baylor or Texas will end up hopping them. But look, Kansas right now, 23-5. I think they're on their way to get the number one overall seed, Kelly. If they win out the regular season and win the Big 12 tournament, they're getting the number one overall seed. And I will say this real quick, Kelly. As you know, all this is based off geography when they're making the seedings and where everyone goes. Kelly, do you know where the Midwest region is this year?
Missouri.
It's in Kansas City, which is Missouri, so very good.
Nailed it.
Very good. It's Kansas City. It's about a 35, 40-minute drive from campus in Lawrence,
I just
to KC.
I figured you're a Missouri guy, though. It was a safe bet.
No, well, I'm happy you know Kansas City's in Missouri, not Kansas City.
Oh, I've had a couple good drinking nights in Kansas City.
There is a Kansas City, Kansas, that's not the same as Kansas City, Missouri, which is where all the good stuff is. But Kansas has West Virginia and Texas Tech the next two games at home. They're going to win that. If they go on the road to Austin, beat Texas, and then, again, win the Big 12 tournament, if Alabama loses once, they should be the number one overall seed. And having them through whatever I think that's a T-Mobile Center now in KC, it's a whole different ballgame. Kansas 11-1, still a DraftKings to win it all. Alabama, Houston, Purdue still shorter. I don't know how Purdue is still shorter, Kelly, because I know that they took a lot of money early. They were the betting favorite for a time being. Purdue's not trustworthy in the NCAA tournament. Their guards aren't good enough. They're just not. And then the other two teams, Alabama's great defensively. When they're making threes, no one is beating them. But when you're so reliant on the three ball, that's a little bit scary. And in Houston, I think Kansas matches up pretty well with Houston. The only thing that could get Kansas in a whole boatload of trouble would be if they get foul trouble up front against that great offensive rebounding team of the Cougars.
Yeah, this time of the year, the one nice thing about the NBA All-Star break is I get to catch up on a lot of college basketball. I will say, this Mike Miles Jr. guy, he might not have had a good game last night, but that kid can play.
Oh, Mike Miles Jr. The difference between TCU with Mike Miles and without Mike Miles, TCU without Mike Miles, all right, maybe they win a game in a tournament, but probably going out in round one, even if they're a 6 to a good 11 seed, they probably would lose. Mike Miles healthy? Ooh, if TCU is on the 6 line and you're a 3 seed, you are very angry that you get them in a round of 32.
I looked up from my computer, saw him pull a nasty crossover and hit a jumper over someone. I was like, oh, this kid can play. Okay, I'm in on this.
And then, look, TCU is they're 30-1 to win it all. I don't know if they're good enough to win 6 straight games because you have to be able to make threes consistently in the NCAA tournament to have a shot, and TCU just cannot shoot the three ball well. But that team is great in transition. They're the best fast break team in the country. They're averaging 20 a game on fast break. They're really good defensively. And Jamie Dixon is as underrated of a coach as there's been in college basketball in the last 15 years.
Yeah, Maul kind of brought that up yesterday, too. He said, watch out for them. They could be a little sneaky.
They're dangerous. With the right draw, they could get to Houston very easily. Hey, you know who may have an opinion on this? Matt Cox.
I bet he does.
Of Three Man Weave. We're going to get his opinion on what we saw last night and some picks for tonight. That's next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in. It's time to bet. Download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and plenty more. Download the BetMGM app and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older or physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. As Twitter has correctly pointed out, Kelly, I should not be besmirching Kansas City, Kansas against Kansas City, Missouri anymore, because there are a few big advantages, and one that's very particular to us. Sports betting, legal in Kansas, not legal in Missouri.
Yes.
Good difference. Big difference. Which, Missouri legislature, for once, please do something. Get it done already. Now with us, our guy Matt Cox is going to join us right now. Of course, he's one of the three weavers at Three Man Weave. Matt, the pleasure is always to have you on. How you doing today?
Pleasure is all mine, sir. I know many a friend back in the Missouri proper who are outraged by the continuing feet dragging of the legislature to get that legalized. So I feel your pain, but I'm in Illinois and I am up for business. So.
Yeah, the only thing in Illinois you guys don't have is you can't bet on the Illini or the all of a sudden good Northwestern Wildcats.
Yeah,
that's the only thing Illinois I didn't get right. But other than that, pretty good. All right, Matt. See, I almost called you Kai because you Kai, Matt, Jim.
Disrespectful.
Oh yeah, I know. I gotta get
two. Take that personally.
You know, Matt, it's gonna be 2 minutes in the penalty box during the break for me. Kelly, get the penalty box set up in the corner, Matt. But let's just go back to last night before we get to tonight and just looking at some macro stuff. That was really a heavy duty win by Kansas last night. They didn't have their best stuff. They were foul trouble in the first half. Jalen Wilson did not play well. Matt, they're not as good as they were last year talent wise, but there's something about this team that makes it feel like, all right, especially if they get up to the one seed in Kansas City, they could very easily do this for a second consecutive season.
No question. You're right. They're not as good as last year, but are they as good relative to the field? And I think that's a question where you could argue that maybe it's actually they find themselves in a similar boat to last season in terms of they're probably maybe not in that small handful of teams that you think are bona fide title contenders. But I think this year, I mean, who is that list, right? That list extends to maybe Houston at this point, although you can certainly poke holes in them. Alabama feels closer and closer like a juggernaut every day. We watch them go along, but I mean, they got boat raced by Oklahoma. So, you know, there's just not a ton of great candidates. So I think this Kansas team, while they're more flawed than last year, I think with Bill Self at the helm, his adaptations game to game, week to week, managing this kind of old and young blend. I mean, I think he's really got this thing in a good, you know, this team in a good shape to make another deep run in March. I really do.
Matt, do you trust Purdue at all?
That's my answer. Next question. No, the guards have where my concerns have been, and not that they're not really solid and, you know, reliable. And I think they've meshed into Painter's offense so perfectly, and Painter's so good, I think, constructing his teams year to year usually. Although last year you could argue there was some mismanagement of, you know, how he used his big. But this year I think he gets an A+. Those guards just don't have that, like, game-breaking, I can get you a bucket late in the shot clock dynamism that I like when you're trying to bet on a horse to go deep in March. And Edie, as dominant as he's been, I think he's been proven to be vulnerable, right? I mean, they've been beaten the Big Ten, like, you know, a few times, schematic adjustments by opposing coaches. They're not invincible. So, I think they're a top-five team, yes, but again, they're in that blemished title contender group.
Matt, just looking down the board here, futures-wise, before we get into today's slate, and it is a good Tuesday slate at that. Creighton's still sitting at 30-1. TCU's still sitting at 30-1. Those are the two teams down the board that still stand out to me as, all right, you can take a shot at them, and you may have a very good ticket when the bracket is revealed. Is there anyone else down the board that you would look at right now?
No, I think it's a pretty sharp market. You're right. There's three I had written down. You just hit two of them, Creighton, TCU. San Diego State is the third I keep harping on. I think they're 100-1 in some spots, but it's a team that's been quietly ho-humming through the Mountain West. They've actually had some games that ended up closer than I think the true margin indicated. I mean, they had Utah State blown out at their building. That's a really impressive win. I mean, look at how good New Mexico's been. Look how good Boise's been. That's a really good conference this year, and they've quietly been the clear-cut favorite. Their defense is trending toward full-on elite status, which has always been the bedrock of that team. This year, they actually have some guards who can go and transition. They got some shot makers. They're deep. They're old. I think it's a well-rounded, complete team that's just super undervalued at where they're being priced right now.
Right now, San Diego State, 100-1 seems to be the peak of the market that is out there. A few places have that. The last time we saw San Diego State play, by the way, they play Colorado State tonight, big favorite at home. Last time we saw the Aztecs play, they played the best basketball game of the season, the 45-43 fiasco, even though they won in at Save Mart in Fresno. Matt, their defense, like you said, especially since conference play has gotten going, they've been elite defensively. So you at least got to give them a shot. I'd like one more score than Matt Bradley, but 100-1 is 100-1.
Right. And here's how you look at San Diego State. Unlike a team like Tennessee or, you know, a team like Iowa State, those are all three defensive-oriented, offensively challenged at times type of, you know, upper end, upper echelon squads. I just think San Diego State actually has a higher gear than those other two. I think they have the potential, you know, through a 2-3-4 game stretch to get hot. Bradley can be a tough shot maker. Butler and Darian Trammell can both be takeover guys at spots. It's not been consistent, right? It's why they're sitting, I think, just outside the top 50 in overall offense. But again, I think they have that top gear that you're looking for as potentially a good value bet.
Matt Cox with us right now, one of the three over a three-man weave. Him, Kai, Jim, always doing a tremendous job. Matt, you guys, you and Kai were on Sirius XM last night doing Field to 68 Radio.
So late night.
Make sure to check that out whenever the Weavers are on there. Matt, just going to tonight, and I just want to start with what seems to be gambling Twitter's favorite topic of late, of the unranked team at home playing the ranked team and being favored. We have two of those tonight. Vautech is favored at home against Miami by 2 or 2.5, depending on where. And Michigan State is favored by 3 against Indiana tonight in East Lansing. I want to start with that ACC game. I really don't care what the trend is. You're giving me Miami, who I think is one of the more underrated teams in the country. Their metrics get sunk because they're bad defensively. But when you have guards like Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack going against another team that can't defend on the perimeter in Vautech, I know the trend. I don't care. I like Miami in this game.
Yeah, I do too. No, I'm with you. I like the over actually more than either of the side. Excuse me. It's a big number, but I think Virginia Tech's been willing to play a little faster than I think you're used to seeing under Mike Young. I'm with you. I like the Canes here. I'm going against the trend in all three of these matchups tonight. I like the dogs, so I'm sure I'll be 0-3 and continue to be laughed at by the system, which is apparently a juggernaut right now.
Apparently it is. Right now hitting at over 60% this year, as wild as that is. I have no play on the Michigan State-Indiana game tonight. I just can't get a feel for that one. And Kai, as we talked about earlier, I don't trust Purdue. I just think the Big Ten is just a whole heap of mediocrity this year.
I mean, you could argue, and I'm sorry, the same dynamic kind of applies in the Big 12, better conference, right? Not saying that. What I'm saying is the, Kansas at home as a favorite has not been a great bet this season, right?
Right.
All these teams are very clustered together, and I think they're all super competitive that you just don't have. And I think what you're getting at is, like, when you're seeing Purdue lay in some of these big numbers, I don't think it's justified. I'm with you. I think a lot of maybe Minnesota is an exception, maybe Nebraska, but even those teams have been competitive recently where I wouldn't be afraid to take points against Purdue as a large favorite.
All right, Matt, we got about a minute to go. There are a lot of good ranked games. There's always a lot of good games down the card as well. What are you looking at tonight?
The one I'm going to probably not take officially, but I'm going to give a half-hearted endorsement. It's a tight card tonight, so not a lot of volume for me. Creighton at 5 was a pretty good bet for me. It's up to 5.5, so I missed the number. I'm waiting for it to maybe fall back down to 5. Hopefully people will back the Shaka as a dog trend, which has been basically printing money since he's been in coaching hoops. I still think this Creighton team, better matchup, better team at home, playing like a top 10 fringe top 5 team with Kalkbrenner back in there. Wasn't in there the first matchup. And they get revenge here at home against a Marquette team who is quietly hitting their plateau. I believe they've 0-3, 0-4 the last four against the spread. So I think it's a little bit of a slight sell high on Marquette.
He's Matt Cox. Again, one of the three on Three Man Weave on the tweets at @Matty_Cox. Matt, a pleasure as always. Enjoy the slate. And hey, we're getting ever so closer, a little under a month to the NCAA tournament now.
Hey, enjoy Ian Eagle. I'm the undercard on today's show.
Hey, you're the appetizer for Ian. We got our guy Ian Eagle coming up next, of course, of CBS Sports, Turner Sports, Yes Network. I think I got everything, Kelly, right? Yeah, I got everything for Ian. Nets, NBA, College Hoops with Ian Eagle next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college hoops, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today with an introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where experts break down brackets, best bets, and daily props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today to sign up for just $9.99. Happy to be with you here on a Tuesday morning. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin is here with us as well. And now joining the program, a man who has changed the meaning of the word wedgie from a punishment in the park to America's favorite basketball term. He calls games for CBS, Turner Sports, Yes Network for the Brooklyn Nets. It's Ian Eagle. Ian, pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah, put it on the tombstone, Jeff. Creator of wedgie for basketball use only. Thank you so much. Jeff, let me just say this before we get started. I don't know if people can even visualize you as a teenager, but I knew you as a teenager. I don't know if people are aware of this, but you had a dream to be a sportscaster one day, to do this for a living, and I don't know, you must have been 16, 17 years old. You show up at a sportscaster camp full of vigor and energy and passion and opinions, and somehow our paths cross, and I feel like I helped molded you into the person you are today. So that's my fault.
Well, you're not the only one who says it's your fault, Ian, but I appreciate it. And I said this to Kelly, our producer here for the show. That week that I spent at Montclair State University with you and Bruce Beck, that was the week I realized, you know what, you can do this. You can do this. And then now here I am. Now here I am actually putting full sentences together for everybody to listen. So
you listen to me and Bruce for a week. You're like, if these two bozos can make a living, I've got a shot.
Hey, look, I'm just happy to be here. I'm here, so I won't be fine. So, good shape. It's great to have you on, Ian. I just want to start with the Nets. By the way, this morning, Kelly, putting this in our notes. Jack Vaughn got extended earlier this morning. So, good on Jack, who's really just navigated what has been Ian. A season that I don't think anyone could have envisioned with what has happened with the Nets. Obviously, trading Kyrie, trading KD. You're there calling their games. Just what is the sense of what that team is now post KD and Kyrie?
Well, first of all, good for Kelly for staying on top of the news.
Yes.
It was early morning breaking news in the NBA that Jock Vaughn has been extended beyond the 23-24 season. No specific details about the deal, but just a multi-year deal to remain the head coach. He already had the interim term lifted earlier this season when he took over for Steve Nash. He's done fantastic work. He stabilized the team when they needed it, even with the big-name stars, KD, Kyrie. He got the vote to buy in. The team went 18-2 over a 20-game stretch. You have to remind yourself, that happened this season. This team, at least at that point, felt like a legitimate NBA championship contender. Where did it all go wrong? Well, no extension for Kyrie, and ultimately that's what led to where we are today. He wanted 4 years, $198 million, and that's, we're not going to pay that. I think they were willing to pay guaranteed money, 2 years, maybe even a third year. Fourth year, they wanted some incentives in there to keep him motivated and keep him on board. And Kyrie and his camp didn't like it and demanded a trade. The Nets realized that they were at a complete impasse. There was a point of no return. They deal him to Dallas. And then, obviously, the dominoes fell with Kevin Durant wanting out. And the Nets decided to take the plunge and redo this roster. You asked me the question, what are they? They're fun. It's a fun team. Is it a championship squad? It's not. Will it be competitive? Will it be entertaining? Will they fight and battle? I think they will. And I think with Jock Vaughn as their head coach, they're is already a sense of chemistry and cohesion developing that he is trying to figure out how to best use these guys, how to create a rotation that works, that can lead this team into the postseason and maybe even surprise some people along the way.
And along those lines, just looking at the Eastern Conference as we're in the All-Star break, Boston with a half-game lead over Milwaukee. We may not see Giannis for a little bit with the sprained ligaments in his wrist. Sixers three games behind Boston and Cleveland in that four spot. Just looking at that Eastern Conference, who do you think could be the dark horse that could maybe even upset a Boston in a round two? It has to be Cleveland, right?
I think it is Cleveland. Obviously, we didn't like the way that they ended the first half, unofficial first half of the season, getting just pummeled the way that they did prior to the All-Star break. But I think they've got the makings of something with the young talent and the mix that they put together. And they're going to be the model that teams follow in how to do this, how to rebuild it, and how to do it the right way, drafting smart, key free agent signings, and then the big trade when it's available and willing to take a chance and a risk to go for it. And that's what the Cavaliers have done. I respect how they've decided to redo their roster and change the culture within that organization, and they've done it. Are they ready to take that next step? I mean, it's a big jump in the NBA from being in the play-in to being a conference finalist or an NBA finalist. So there are a couple of steps in there that normally you have to go through as a team, and the question is whether or not they can really battle with the heavyweights Boston and Milwaukee. Philadelphia, I think most people are just curious how it's all going to play out come playoff time. If they face adversity, can Embiid and Harden and Doc Rivers keep that group together and fight through it and find a way to to be the last team standing. The general sense is they can't, that there's just, you know, a little too much mystery there. Harden's contract for next year, is he going elsewhere? Rumors about Houston, that he wants to get back there and be a part of the rebuild and try to bring that back to life. Obviously, his main goal, win a championship, complete his resume, and cement his legacy. But it's easier said than done. And with James, you're just never quite sure. Obviously, the Nets experienced that firsthand last year where he just checked out. He completely checked out. He wanted no part of the team. He was unhappy with the direction. Certainly did everything in his power to get traded, and the Nets eventually decided that it was a completely untenable situation. So just going back to the Nets, they already went through this with one star, and then they went through it again with two stars.
Ian Eagle with us right now here on A Numbers Game. Of course, you hear Ian on College Hoops on CBS, the NBA on TNT, YES Network for the Nets, and, of course, the NFL season on CBS and Westwood One on the radio. Ian, we have about 2 minutes left here, and I just want to look at the Western Conference now with, obviously, Durant moving over. The Nuggets have been, to me, the best team in the NBA so far this year. For looking at it from Denver's perspective real quick, you finally have this breakthrough team. Jokic is on his way to win his third MVP, and then all of a sudden, the one team that, with getting Durant in Phoenix, they turn into the biggest threat here. They're the betting favorites now, Phoenix. If you're Denver, you want to see them as early as possible in the postseason, correct?
I don't know. I don't know with Denver. I just think they are who they are, and they can't get caught up in what Phoenix has done here. You have to believe in the group that you have. Of course, the Suns now have a lot of the glitz and glamour that you look for, and the question is whether or not it can all work together and that KD can stay healthy and the Suns have the right mix. It's been a strange season, really strange season in Phoenix, but I got to tell you, I've had them a few times this year on TNT, meeting with Monty Williams. He is a serious guy who can absolutely tell you what he believes and why he believes it, and I can see how he can get a team to believe in what he believes. So now it's a matter of putting all the pieces together. If you're Denver, you didn't do anything big at the trade deadline because you didn't have to. You believe in your squad, and that's the way they should approach this. I think they're the best team in the NBA. I'm with you. They've played the best in the NBA, and with that comes an X on your back where you have to take on all comers.
All right, Ian, one-word answer here. The best team in college basketball at the moment is?
I think Purdue has a chance to be the best because I love their chemistry. I've seen Houston in person. I think they're really good. I think Alabama is excellent. I think Kansas is excellent. And I think the answer to your question is anybody's guess, Jeff, because no one is at that elite level this year in college basketball.
He's Ian Eagle, the best in the business. You hear him on CBS, TNT, YES Network, NBA, and the NFL. Ian, pleasure as always. And once again, as always, thank you for helping in creating my career here.
I knew you win, Jeff. I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thank you very much, Ian. We got more on the other side in the NBA.
The Sports Betting Network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign in to your BetMGM account and click on Refer a Friend to send your friend a message inviting them to register with a new account in the same state as you that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and a wager is settled, you receive a $50 bonus as well. So share the excitement of BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And this offer is not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Kelly, we miss out on all the fun.
Yep.
All the fun. More fun, gaming board. More fun needed here in Nevada. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin here as well. Well, Paul Carr in about 15 minutes. Kelly, did you have you bet any soccer in the calendar year 2023?
Oh, good question. No, I don't think so.
Okay. I know in 2022 you made bets.
Yeah,
World Cup.
Yeah, I'll fire on some soccer.
World Cup bets. Matt Brown's Liverpool EPL future is as bad of a bet as he's made this year. But the best
was his instant regret of it, too, because he didn't realize.
He said the season didn't end until June.
Well, no, A, he didn't realize how long the Premier League season is in general, and then didn't realize that it got extended because of the World Cup.
Yeah. No, he was not happy when he made it, and hasn't gone well. Man City finally hopping Arsenal hopped Arsenal for a day and now again behind Arsenal with a game in hand, two points in front of Man City with Man United actually on their heels. Kind of crazy enough, only 5 points behind Arsenal right now. And that is your EPL update of the day until Paul Carr joins us in a few minutes. All right, Kelly, first off, there's no one better than Ian Eagle. So big thanks to Ian Eagle joining us last segment.
It's great.
Kelly did not realize that Ian actually knew me when I was still of teenage age.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys were BFFs.
Yeah, apparently so. let's go to the NBA here. Let's go to the six-man award shopping price. We're going to shop around here because Kelly loves shopping. That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do, man.
We saw
this Russell Westbrook news yesterday, and you might remember that just a couple weeks ago, Russell Westbrook was the favorite in the sixth man of the year market. So those odds have shifted. We've got a few books listed here, so you can see kind of how the odds are right now. Malcolm Brogdon's still the favorite. He's been the favorite now for, a week and a half, something like that. Minus 165 at MGM. And then it's Norman Powell, plus 350 at MGM. Tyrese Maxey, plus 350 at MGM. And Russell Westbrook, 9-1. So anybody who's got bets in this market or is looking to bet this market is probably rightfully so asking questions about how does this all work with the Clippers and Russell Westbrook and Norman Powell. I don't really know that I have an answer for you yet, Jeff, except there are reports that Russ might be starting for this team.
What?
Yes. Yes, that's a thing.
What?
That's a thing. Is that Russ might get the start for this team. Okay, regardless of that, whether that happens or Russ comes off the bench, he's still coming off the bench. I think he's still going to be coming off the bench after Norman Powell. I have a Norman Powell ticket. I might be just talking myself into this here a little bit, but I still think Norman Powell, if you're on him, it's still very live in this market. He's a great two-way player. Stats on the season, he's at 17 points per game. Does a lot of noise. He's about two assists, three rebounds, but 41%, over 41% from three. He's having a great year. I still think he's very live in this market. Malcolm Brogdon, look, he's had a great year. We know how important he is to the Celtics. 14.7 points per game, 3.7 assists, 4.2 rebounds, an incredible 45.5% from three. I think that he's the rightful favorite. I'm just not sure he should be this much, Jeff. Now, the one name to look out for is Tyrese Maxey. Plus 350, his odds keep shortening and shortening and shortening. He is on the season, 19.8 points per game, so the highest point per game count from any of these four guys. And then 3.5 assists, 2.8 rebounds, 39.4% from three. The one thing to address with him is, as of right now, he has started more games than he has come off the bench. The only qualification you need to have to win the Sixth Man of the Year award is that you come off the bench in more games that you start. However, Tyrese Maxey has been coming off the bench more recently as DeAnthony Melton has been inserted into the starting lineup for the 76ers. So, Maxey, to me, probably is the bet right now, Jeff, but you're definitely gambling a bit because right now he does not qualify for this award. And with only like 23 games remaining, you're kind of gambling that the Sixers are not going to change up that starting lineup at all. But man, I could see him winning. I could see him winning this award. And at 4-1, I don't know. At 4-1, I don't know that I'm running a bet. It. Unfortunately, he was a little bit longer just a couple days ago. But yeah, man, the sixth man of the year race. This is getting interesting here down the stretch.
You know, Kelly, I'll say this: I don't have anything that I'm not going to bet this market. And of course, it's not available to us here, as we know.
Yeah, but it is.
Oh, actually, you are right.
You got a couple shops.
You got two shops, actually. Yeah. I think I know where they are. I know who they are.
The one to keep in mind with anybody out there that's looking at Jordan Poole stuff is he's not going to be qualified for this award.
He's going to start too many games.
He's going to start too many games. Yeah. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing as I brought up with Maxey. With Steph Curry out, Jordan Poole's in the starting lineup. He's going to end up starting too many games. So that's the one. I didn't even want to include him because I'm sure people who go to sports books, if they're wondering about this market and they see a 70-1 tag next to Jordan Poole, they're like, whoa, he's having a good year. Why not him? He comes off the bench. Yeah, when Steph is in there, but he's not in there right now. So he's not going to end up being qualified. I would not even take a sprinkle of the 70-1.
It's a hard market. I know JVT brought this up to me last week that you and him were talking about Norman Powell being should be the favorite over Malcolm Brogdon. Again, you got a little bit of the question marks now with Russ, and really the Clippers might start Russell Westbrook. Seriously,
yeah.
Kelly?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Those are the
points. Well, again, this whole thing with Westbrook and the Clippers has been illogical.
Yeah.
Where again, we talked about it. We talked about it at length yesterday when it came down, where you trade John Wall. You trade Reggie Jackson, and then you replace them with Russ, where it's just illogical. Where the other two dudes were, look, Wall is the same player as Russ at this point. There's no you went through the numbers. Wall's numbers are slightly better than Russ.
The only difference is Russ just gets more minutes. That's
Russ is more usage.
All the accounting stats are going to be more for Russ because he gets more minutes. But all the usage rate and what their turnover percentage and all that kind of stuff, they're exactly the same. We went over it yesterday, like you said.
Same numbers.
Look, the Clippers have basically shifted the entire backcourt, right? Because it's Reggie Jackson, it's Luke Kennard, we can't forget about him, and you bring in Eric Gordon, Bones Highland, Russell Westbrook. Sure. Now, you're basically just reshifted this entire backcourt, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, Jeff, because that whoever's in that backcourt, they still have the same goal. It's to get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to be as good as possible.
Correct.
So clearly someone on that coaching staff in that front office thought that the backcourt that they had assembled was not good enough to get these guys over the hump. So I don't really mind making the changes. Eric Gordon's a more diverse player from what he can do offensively and defensively than what they had in that backcourt. Bones Highland, I think, is a very, very skilled offensive player that they're bringing in there. I question a little bit you losing Luke Kennard. He's the biggest piece. I'm scared. He's the top three-point shooter in the NBA. That one's a little nerve-wracking. And look, Westbrook, what it's going to come down to, I really believe this, Westbrook's probably going to make or break this team. I think.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
I think what their plan is that what they're going to use him heavily for the rest of the regular season for these games that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George sit out. I think once they get in the playoffs, he probably doesn't even crack the rotation. I just think you got other guys that are going to be more effective in there between Terrence Mann and all the other guys we just named. It's going to be interesting to watch.
It is just going to be fascinating. Again, I'm lower on the Clippers than than some are. I know JVT is higher than anyone on them.
I think they have probably the most outside of the Phoenix Suns. No, I'll include the Phoenix Suns. The Clippers have the highest ceiling in the Western Conference. We just haven't seen it. We haven't seen them put it together consistently, partially because these guys don't play.
Wouldn't it technically be a tie for the highest ceiling, because their ceilings are both winning the NBA championship? Same deal with, I think, the Nuggets. Again, when I said the Ion last segment, I truly believe. I think the Nuggets have been the best team in the NBA this year. And
they've been a great regular season team. They get smoked by the Bucks or the Celtics.
I don't know if they get smoked by Boston. Milwaukee, you know what? They might get smoked by Boston because that's a weird matchup for them. And Milwaukee, look, I think Milwaukee's going to win the NBA title.
Jokic would have a huge series.
Assuming Giannis is healthy, I still think Milwaukee wins the title.
Me too.
So we'll see. Again, the one good thing for Denver, they've never been to the finals, Kelly. If you get to the finals, in order to get to the finals, the best thing that could happen for them is the Clippers and the Suns play each other round one, and the winner of that series plays you in round two, which right now, that would be the matchup. Hey, Paul Carr is going to talk some soccer with us next.